This episode is brought to you by Bento Box, helping restaurants bring hospitality online. Learn more at getbento.com/opening soon. That's getbento.com/opening soon.
I'm Brian Kenny, and you're listening to the Heritage Radio Network, a member-supported podcast network broadcasting over 35 weekly shows live from Bushwick, Brooklyn. This year, HRN is celebrating 10 years of food radio. For the past decade, they've been taking you behind the scenes of farms, restaurants, breweries, school cafeterias, and more. It's been 10 years, and we're just getting started. Find us at heritageradionetwork.org.
And welcome to Opening Soon on Heritage Radio Network. We are your hosts, Jenny Goodman.
And I'm Alex McCreary.
Opening Soon is a weekly show that will walk you through the steps of opening a restaurant through conversations with some of the world's greatest chefs, restaurateurs, and the vendors that help take their business from an idea to opening soon.
If you listened to the first episode, you'll know that Jenny and I are hospitality veterans, currently operating fashion workwear brand Tillet NYC, outfitting over 4,000 restaurants around the globe. We've also had the humbling experience of opening and closing a restaurant in under 6 months. I guess you could say we're the fastest restaurateurs that you know. Our experience working with all these restaurants, many of which have been in the startup phase, coupled with our failure, are the reason we're behind the mic and behind the questions. We'll leave it up to the experts on our show to provide the answers.
So if you're just joining us for this first 12-episode season, we'll sequentially take you through the steps of your business plan. From choosing the right partners, to the design, to getting those doors actually open. We will be picking the brains of industry leaders each episode to educate, entertain, and inspire you on your journey from idea to opening soon.
Before we introduce you to this week's guests and topic, we wanted to wrap a few nuggets of wisdom from last week's show about building a better restaurant business plan. Number one, don't skimp on the opening cash reserve, i.e. make sure you have enough money to get through the opening months. Number two, look at as many spaces as possible. If you recall, Hugo and Ryan from Butler Bake Shop looked at over 40 spaces before deciding on the one that they chose. Number three, pay yourself. If you're not happy, if you're not paid, your employees and your customers will notice. Number four, consider incentivizing advisors and vendors with sweat equity. Can't afford to pay a great accountant? Try and bring them on as a partner. Number five, excite investors with future growth. While you don't need to go into depth of restaurant number two or operation number three, at least having some growth to get investors excited makes a lot of sense.
So now that we've had a recap, let's get on to our topic today, which is partnership. Hospitality professionals are historically understaffed, overworked, and hyper-focused on their tasks at hand inside their businesses. That doesn't leave much time for mingling with or courting investors, business partners, and the people you need to start your journey from an employee to an owner. So how do you find that perfect match? Well, today, we are so pleased and thrilled to have partners in Bowery Restaurant Group here today. We have Vicky Freeman, who's a co-owner. We have Aisha Nirjaya, who is the chef partner at Shuka. And we have Anna Marie McCullough, who's a partner and the director of operations for the group. They are true industry veterans. Vicky and Mark, her chef partner, as well as Chris Paris, so I won't butcher his last name, opened their first restaurant together in 1999, was that the? 1998, so over 21 years ago, called Five Points, which is now where Vic stands today. They have since built an impressive mini restaurant empire, including Cook Shop, Vic's, Rosie's, and Shuka. And they are the type of restaurateurs that attract loyal diners with their dedication to green market ingredients, well-executed, honest cooking, and welcoming spaces. So thank you all for being here. Welcome.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you for having us. So happy to have you.
So just let's give a quick background to the guests about how you got into the hospitality industry in the first place.
Well, I did everything in my power not to be in the hospitality industry. My first job was at Bob's Big Boy in Encino, California, and I was 15. And I have to say that is where I got the bug because I actually loved being in the restaurant, and I couldn't believe at that time at 15 how much money I made. So that was great. But from then on in, I was always in the restaurant business while I was getting myself through school. You know, I paid my way through college. I went to I hate to say this. I went to 9 different colleges.
Nine colleges?
I went to 9. I'm sort of famous for it because I...
You must have learned
the time. How do you even have time to go to 9 colleges?
Some I went to multi, too. I went to San Francisco State University while I was going to the Academy of Art College. I've tried NYU Film School. I went to Columbia. I went, you name it. I went always looking for something to do while all the time what I was doing was what I really should have been doing. You know, but no one in my family, you did not work in restaurants. Restaurants were a means to an end, not the end of the means. So that's how it happened for me.
And Anna Marie, you sort of fortuitously got into restaurants as well.
So I am originally from Ireland, and I came here for a summer in 1990 with the only goal at hand to get a suntan. That didn't work out, so I've stayed to work in restaurants. So I started with all kinds of jobs for a summer, and I overstayed my welcome on my J-1 visa. I have since got an amnesty that arrived 6 months later, which is, you know, that's a whole other story. But so I didn't know anything about restaurants or anything like that, but I did grow up in a family business, and I know how to take care of people. So I had that, and I applied those skills to the jobs I was doing. One was an A&P checkout girl, one was a house cleaner, and one was a babysitter, and another was working in a garden. But when I was working for the man that I was house cleaning for, he said, oh, you know, maybe you should go into more like taking care of things. I'd help him with some of his dinner parties, that kind of thing. So he's like, oh, you should go to restaurants. So to make a long story short, I met with somebody that he had set up that interview. I was to meet with somebody, and it was to, you know, talk about restaurants, learn about them, go to school, and then move into that world. So the guy I was supposed to meet didn't show. So they set me up to meet with their waiter there, who was from County Kerry. His name was Bill. I don't think I've ever seen him since, but he did steer me on the right direction. And he said, well, you know, what do you mean you're going to go to school for restaurants? Like, do you even know, like, have you ever worked in a restaurant? I said, I don't even eat out. I don't know what you're talking about. So he directed me to a couple of Irish restaurants, and the man that I had worked for house cleaning had told me to make sure I was dressed well. So all my savings were spent on buying a suit and getting my hair done, and it seemed all a waste. But I said I would, on the same day, go to the places the guy Bill recommended. One of them was an Irish place. And simply because I well presented, not because I knew how to do anything in a restaurant, was how it happened. So I worked in that restaurant for 5 years and waited tables. And, you know, like Vicky, in a way, you know, I'm on the phone to my mother in Ireland. She's like, you're working in restaurants, you know, and you'd gone to college, all the rest of it. She expected a different outcome for me. So I broke away for a minute to work in an office, and I remember being on a beautiful day, sitting looking outside, wondering what they were doing in the restaurant that day. Mm-hmm. And because it was an outdoor restaurant, and I was like, yeah, I don't want to be stuck in an office. Mm-hmm. So went back to the restaurants. Then I said, it's time for me to go to the next step of what that is. And I wound up working, getting a job as a training manager at Be Our Guest restaurants, and I worked there for 11 years. I learned so much, like started at the bottom as a trainee and finished as a director of operations. And then the birth of my second daughter, I was like, I can't give everything to everyone, so I need to make some decisions. So I just want a job where I can come in and go to work and do a great job and go home. And that's how, you know, I had worked with Chris, Vicky's and Mark's other partner at Be Our Guest, and I met with him and I said, hey, you know, do you know anywhere that's looking for somebody? So that's how I wound up working at the Bowery Group restaurant. So I started there as a breakfast manager, and that's 10 years ago.
Wow. And I love one nugget that Vicky shared with us before, was that Anna Marie is actually the only manager you had never met, but you trusted Chris so much as a partner that mm-hmm. you just were like, okay, I trust you, and you brought her on, and 10 years later, she's also a partner in the group. So
yeah.
I love that little nugget. So Aisha, tell us, how did you become a chef and get involved in this crazy business?
My goodness, it's been close to 15 years now. I was pursuing a career in law because my parents forced me to. When I was in kindergarten.
I know.
Parents, listen.
Parents, listen.
Kindergarten. I think the principal, my mother was late picking me up from the bus. She had my brother, so my mother's notoriously late for everything. However, he said, I think that Aisha can walk and talk herself out of anything, but you need to be there to pick her up out of school. And then she had it in her head that I would be a good lawyer since I had the gift of gab. And I was working in a law firm one day on a case, and I was getting really frustrated. And I spoke to my boss, and he basically said, take the rest of the day off. And I was not happy. And I wrote down on a piece of paper, everyone tells you, like, do what you love to do. And I can't remember the order, but I wrote music, diamonds, and cooking.
Music, diamonds, and cooking. What was the plan
Why
with
not
the
diamonds?
Diamonds?
How did you know?
I walked into the New York Gemology School in the Diamond District, and I said, I want to study diamonds. And the woman laughed at me, and she said, not many people get to do that. Less than 10% of people actually do. I just wanted to bedazzle myself in jewels, and yeah. I felt like that was the most discounted way to get in there quickly.
I like how you said
that. And that was it? You're out?
That was out. So that's strike one.
Damn.
The second music thing was I wanted to pursue a career as a DJ because I loved Vegas and I wanted to gamble and be a big-time DJ. But I thought that that probably wasn't really lucrative. And the third was I went to the New York, it was called, it's still called ICE, but it was in the old school, which was on 23rd and 6th Avenue. And I spoke to one of the advisors, and she took me around to look at the classrooms, and I was like, this is where I was meant to be. And forever I watched Lydia Bastianich on television, and she had those blessed, gorgeous grandma hands, and I wanted to cook everything that she did. So I went to school, worked in the law firm during the day, went to school at night, and then I started at Philidia as basically a dishwasher and worked my way up to sous chef from there.
Wow.
The story of how she got into Philidia is worth a whole episode on its own.
We'll bring you back So tell me a little bit about how you started the partnership in the first place, Vicky, when you met, you know, how did you come together with Mark and Chris and say, these are the right partners for me and we're going to go into business with Five Points?
You know, I think probably the way in which we do everything is there's no real way of doing it. It's not, there's not one sort of thing that happened. I mean, very separate, different ways in which it happened with either, both of them. With Anne-Marie, it just, we were just amazed daily at who she was, how incredible she was at running Cookshop. And I just thought, we really want to grow. And we need another, I needed another half of me. Yeah. You know what I mean? Someone who could do the front of the house, someone who could do, and I know who I am and I know all my talents and organization and that kind of thing, not my thing. So I looked at Anna-Marie and I was like, this is a leader. She can run things. But it was really, I always say this about the partners, it's a really, it's just one of the most important things you could ever decide to do. And it's not just about what she could do. It's way more about who she was. I knew that I just trusted her inside and out. I knew that, you know, we're all going to make mistakes. We're all going to do stuff, but that the right spirit was going to be there. And so that's really how it happened with Anna-Marie. With Aisha, it happened because we were doing, she was the chef at 100 Acres. And long story on this, but, you know, one day we sort of said to her, what do you really want to be cooking? And she was like, Middle Eastern. And, you know, it just sort of morphed in that way. And all of a sudden I was like, let's just open, this is like, she's a genius. Let's open up a Middle Eastern restaurant with her. And it seemed, I just knew for the, almost the same reasons as Anne-Marie, but in a completely different position, I was like, I want to do more things with this woman. I want her to be part of this group. I did completely trust her. I thought her vision was incredible. And, you know, I was like, let's do more things.
Was Aisha the first chef to come in as a partner besides Mark?
No, Hillary Sterling was our first partner.
I think just for a little bit of clarification for our listeners that Vicky, along with Chris and her husband, Mark Meyer, were founding partners of the Bowery Group, right? Mm-hmm. We're joined with Anna-Marie and
with Aisha.
Aisha, that were both employees of the group and then have worked their way up through the ranks and then into partnership, which is, you know, something that I think a lot of people are looking to get to. Anna-Marie, how long did you work for the company? And then when did you officially, what year did you become a partner?
So 2015, okay. I was our official, maybe, probably actually 2014 because, I associate my partnership with the opening of Rosie's.
Right.
So that opened in April of 2015. So I would say the year before that was when I officially became a partner.
And when did you start working at Cook Shop?
2009, I started there. And I started as the breakfast manager, as I said. And
then you had quite a bit of experience. You were already doing operations at Be Our Guest, right?
At Be Our Guest, okay. Yeah. So
she was the most over-experienced breakfast manager that anyone's ever had.
It was ridiculous.
It was a great fit at the time. Sometimes you take a step back to take a step forward or two steps forward, or you don't even know, you know? So,
we talked about this earlier, having pizza at Roberta's, that, again, it was about the people, right, more than the opportunity to some degree, that you knew that you were joining the right group of people.
And having known Chris before that, you know, right. I was like, we were able to speak the same language, you know, so we had worked together. So I knew I was coming into that environment, you know, and I hadn't actually met Vicky. And but I remember us sitting down and stuff like that. And we were on the same page from the beginning, you know, and, you know, as we talked earlier, it's like, it was a great environment for me to come in and to be able to feel, no matter what I was doing, I felt I was an owner, if that makes any sense. Vicky, Mark, and Chris have this unique, for me, way of making me feel that, yes, make your own decision. You're part of it. I could make an impact, I guess that's what it is. And to be allowed to make the impact, and it was, you know, I was lucky enough to have great experience coming from Be Our Guest. I had learned a lot from that time. But to be able to exercise some of those things and to make an impact and to make it better for everybody, you know, to be allowed to do that, I think that's really cool, you know.
It's great. I mean, that's a huge thing, and it's a testament to giving people runway to make sure that they feel partnership and ownership from the beginning. And Aisha, your transition, so you have a really interesting transition too, because you came on as an executive chef and then, you know, through the relationship. Tell us how that unfolded and when it was the aha moment that these are your partners.
I think that 100 Acres was very much farm to table, and I was sneaking in turmeric and other other little cumin dust. And we just sat down one day and realized that the vision of 100 Acres wasn't clear. People were coming, looking for that fried chicken and waffle, and I was trying to give them lamb tagine. So we decided that because the vision at this point, I think, was really clear. We had ran this really successful New Year's Eve that we do every year since then, and we had done a falafel pop-up, that 100 Acres really needed an identity. And that's when we went to
shoot. But tell them what the New Year's Eve was.
Oh, a night in Marrakesh. We recreated.
It still is, right?
It is. That's what it's called. Yes. Yeah. So we recreate like a chouk feeling. We have a belly dancer, a tarot card reader. We had a belly dancer with a hookah on his head this year, and
sells out every year. So mark your calendars, people.
Exactly.
The menu is endless. And she basically will cook anything you want.
Cook you anything.
It's a
feast. How many items were on the menu the first year?
The first year, 39.
Oh.
Has that been edited down ever?
It has.
Okay. Oh, really?
Maybe by 9
37
items.
Now.
We gear up by Thanksgiving. Then we started worried about New Year's Eve.
People don't sleep between Thanksgiving and New Year's.
And I think that at that point, with the success of New Year's Eve, and we had done a falafel pop-up, and now we were going to close and put some tiles up on the wall and create shuka, it was when I was approached about being a partner. And I didn't say yes right away.
Ooh, they had to court you. Mm-hmm. Tell us more.
I'm into the courting. I think what we touched on earlier while we were enjoying our pizza at Roberta's was, when you're a chef and you're creating these pathways for you and really wanting to have a future, you really need to align yourself with the right people. And part of that is not just taking partnership or being lured by that carrot, but making sure that you're aligning yourself with people where you can see growth, people that do value your opinion, where you want to see that you can, like Anna Marie said, like make an impact. And it's not that someone is, you know, I know some chef friends that have partnerships, but they're being force-fed what they have to cook and put on their menu. So you have to create your own destiny in that way. Mm-hmm. But, you know, partnership is like a relationship.
Yeah,
you are courting each other for... Right, the long and the short of it,
yes.
And through the good and the bad times. And you really want to make sure that you share the same things as far as, you know, quality of life, as far as vision and ethos of your own restaurant. You know, do you, if you know, the restaurant industry is so difficult. So you want to make sure that those big decisions are kind of out of the way so you can deal with the nuts and bolts of the daily.
You guys have all mentioned a shared vision, which I think is really key and very important to partnership. So how do you guys ensure there's a shared vision, and on places of differentiation, what happens? How do you work through it?
It's called owner's meetings, knockout.
Did you hear a moment of silence on that one? We have a lot of meetings. We talk about everything at nauseam. I don't know if we've ever had anything, you guys can speak to this, but have we had anything that was monumental that we couldn't come to the same page on? I don't know if you guys maybe think, maybe they think there has been something.
No, we hash it out, and some of the meetings are, let's just say, more passionate than others.
Passion is good.
I think at times it's definitely compromise in a good way.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I feel that all these meetings, oh my God, some days we, you know, all you've done is have meetings and you're absolutely exhausted and you almost feel like you've done no work, but we've actually done great work in hashing things out, coming to solutions, identifying problems, and we need each other to give all of our, and when I say like Chris, Mark, all sitting around a table, because we all have a different way of looking at it, and usually we come to the right solution with all angles covered, you know what I mean? And I think that if there's anybody ever feels that they're absolutely adamant about something, then they're heard, you know. And I think that's, is that the question?
Yeah, no, that's great.
We talked a little bit about kind of how different you guys are personally, and then how that sort of translates into your role within the restaurants. I think in a lot of ways that makes a lot of sense. Are you specifically finding people that counter your own assets, or is it just, did it work out that way that you're all very different people and
I'd say a bit of both.
Still work together really
well? It's
really
it. You know, I think we're certainly, us three are self-aware of our strengths and weaknesses, and you know, one of the biggest things I think that's very important in a partnership, in any partnership, you know, and we have them in all of our lives, our children, our parents, our husbands, our wives, girlfriends, whatever, it's all about the other person has to feel heard, and I think that's, with all these different personalities, we're going to hear different views. And our restaurants are full of different people, so we need to have different views so that we can hear all of them. So I think that's... do we look for people that are different? I think we're well rounded out right about now, right, at the moment. But, you know, if there's a new perspective or new way of looking at something or doing something that can balance the rest of us out in a way that we don't even know yet, I would imagine we're open to all of that.
We are, but I don't think we go looking. Certainly the one thing I can say for sure is we never go out looking for a partner. It's not like.
But even when you were considering, you know, bringing in Aisha and Anna Marie, were you conscious that they were going to be, you know, bring something entirely different to the business and to the group than what you already possessed?
Yes.
Yeah. Because I think a lot of times people will get down the road with, you know, trying to start something up, and they'll realize that the partner that they have, they both share the same creative desire, they both share the same skill set. And while that may seem really, you know, they can bond over something, does that make them great business partners? Maybe not.
I was just going to say, as the group has changed and things have sort of evolved, and now you have, you know, four restaurants and counting, how has like your role and your partnership as a partner and as an owner changed, Vicky, and like with bringing in other people? What have you relinquished and what have you taken on?
I actually think the most difficult thing for me was relinquishing anything. I never realized what a freaking control freak I was and how I just wanted my hands in everything. And I was like, that's been the hardest part. And I think it's been the hardest part, you know, I'm going to speak for him who's not here, which is great. But, you know, my husband, Mark, was sort of the executive chef of the whole company. And now there's like real chefs. In, not that there weren't real chefs, but there's.
But Mark there's, is a real chef. That's
no,
all we said.
No, he is. But I'm saying the way you can be a chef in one restaurant is different than the being a chef that oversees sort of everything. And I think for all of us, I think it's been the biggest thing is learning how to relinquish things and trust, and not the trust, I had trust in them or I wouldn't have picked them, but you're, I don't know if I'm saying this right, letting go is difficult. Letting go.
Delegating, it's so hard, especially when you're like an entrepreneur, it's your baby. So.
Delegating is very difficult. I'm really getting excellent at it though.
Good. And Ayesha, what about you? So your role changed, you know, from a hired chef to now a partner in the company. You know, what has changed? What do you feel like has changed since that's happened?
I think that, you know, going back to relinquishing, you know, just giving my sous chefs more power. My sous chef, Carla, has been with me for 8 years, and we're opening a new restaurant soon. And I think that she's going to step up and be a great chef de cuisine at Shuka. But that transition for her and me to take a transition on a step back is also a little difficult at times. You know, I watch her expedite, and I'm like right there, and I'm like, keep it shut. and then sometimes you can, and sometimes you can't, and sometimes I have to point things out to her.
Yeah.
But I think that learning to trust people and hopefully making the right choice by putting these people in places. So it has been, you know, transition.
Yeah, we always say that too. It's like, I see it more with childcare, but I see it in business too. It's like, it's not doing it how I necessarily would have done it, but is it wrong? Maybe not, you know? So there's those things. All right, we're going to take a quick break and then we'll come back with some more.
Great.
Seven years ago, Zach left his desk job with the vision to create a craft beer shop and bar in Alphabet City, a neighborhood of Manhattan. Zach and his business partner wanted to create a space that felt like an extension of your living room. As a Cicerone, he wanted to provide informed and friendly service to his neighborhood guests. ABC Beer Company has gained a large following in the craft beer community. Bento Box helped ABC Beer Company build an online image and beautiful new website that features a rotating tap list and has inquiry forms for custom beer orders and more. ABC Beer Company is one of 4,000 restaurants that's powered by Bento. Visit getbento.com/openingsoon to learn more.
Welcome back to Opening Soon. We're joined again with Vicky, Ayesha, and Anna Marie from the Bowery Group and from Shuka Restaurant. And just kind of a recap of the couple points that I think we made about partnerships in the first half was that I found the most interesting is I think most all that you guys keep talking about that makes a ton of sense is about who the people are rather than necessarily just what they bring to the table on a resume or something. And I think somebody said once, it's not about what you can do, but who you are. It's about aligning yourself with people that see growth, and it's about aligning yourself with people that share a vision of the restaurant, that share a vision of quality of life. And I think that those are really good points for anybody that's out there looking for partners or getting ready to start their own business.
Yes, just a couple more questions. So what advice do you have for people entering into this sort of work marriage of sorts?
We all look at each other.
It's okay to think about it.
I mean, I think take it slow. I think keep your eyes open and really look at who the other people are. Don't jump in and don't go, I just really want a partner or this will be great. You know, I think you really have to know what you're looking for. For me, with them, I wanted people that were going to be as all in as I was, because I did have a partner a while ago and nothing wrong with it, but really she wanted, and I'm all for this, but she really wanted a family. She really only wanted to work very little. She wanted, and good for her for being probably smarter than me, but I wanted to know that if I'm going to be doing it with like-minded people.
I would say have patience and don't be quick to sometimes like when you're at a meeting or you're trying to say your opinion and you hear someone else's, like you listen to what your partners have to say because sometimes they know better because they have more experience than you do. And sometimes you have to sleep on it before you make a decision.
The sleeping thing I really learned from Aisha, so I want to say thank you about that. I think the most important thing about a partnership as a going into it is listening. And like Vicky said, you take it slow, know who the people are, and know that they are going to be as all in as you are, you know. And I think the work ethic thing is the same. You cannot be upset at somebody else's lack of work or lack of contribution. So you have to know them a little bit, I think, before that, you know.
Yeah, the work ethic is a big one for sure.
Aisha, you brought up a point earlier that I think is interesting for the chefs that are listening, and the like desire to have partnership is more than, you know, just a shared dividend. It's more than being able to stamp your name as an owner of the business. There's a lot more responsibility that comes along with it. Can you?
Sure, of course. I think when you're a partner, you know, as a chef partner, you have to be able to understand the difference between being a chef and then being a partner. In the way, like, as your chef responsibilities are to, you know, keep your food costs in line and your labor and make sure the food is going out good, being a partner is a much more global perspective of the business. You're not just worrying about one department or just, like, you know, one piece of the pie. You're really paying attention to all of the aspects of the restaurant. Are we giving good service? Is your relationship with your GM great? Do you have a vision? Is it being carried out? You know, you align yourself with people that have good work ethic like you. And, you know, Anna Marie might have learned the sleep on it, but the listening thing I definitely learned from her, because I think when you're a chef, sometimes you are yearning to be heard. And in that, you're not listening to either what people are trying to tell you or, you know, what your guests are telling you or other people around you. So I think the perspective of a chef wanting to be a partner, just know what you're getting into and being sure that you're ready for it, because it's not, you know, it's a long-lasting partnership. That's what you're hoping to have, not just equity in a company and whatever dividends come from it, as you were saying, but it's more of the relationship. You know, you're there with like sword and shield, mm-hmm. with your partners, and you hope that they have your back as much as you have theirs at all time. But ultimately, it really is about the restaurant.
Yeah.
And that
shared goal.
Exactly.
Yeah. And I mean, so you have some very long-term partnerships. You know, what has been like the secret sauce or the common thread that's really kept it together and kept everybody engaged?
I'd say communication, definitely number one. Is it's so hard because sometimes you try to keep it inside because it's so uncomfortable to talk about some stuff, and you're like, oh, maybe it'll just go away. And I don't recommend that. You know, this is advice that probably isn't going to be helpful to anyone. But the first year that Mark and I were partners at a restaurant we had called Five Points, we got a couples counselor.
Did you?
Yep. Completely. Oh, yeah. We could not stop fighting.
That's, I believe it. But yeah, I mean,
what
are you saying? Well, we don't have a couples counselor, but there's been moments where I'm like, Alex and I are also a married couple, so I sympathize with you. And then you layer on the kids, and holy shit. It's
and like, layer on chef in front of the house. You know
yeah,
what I mean?
you're like this. Yeah. I mean, we're still chef in front of the house, even though we have a different kind of business. But yeah, for sure. I think there's always, you know, I think partners of any kind can probably benefit from couples therapy in some ways. So don't be afraid to do it, people. Do you want to talk about, like, how do you come up with new business ideas when you're thinking of a new restaurant concept? I think you had some, you know, you were saying that they sort of...
I think that we are a very different kind of company in this, in that we never sit around in an office and go, we're going to open one restaurant a year, you know, we should do this, or let's do Mexican. I hear that, you know, profit margin on Mexican food is really good, or nothing has ever come about that simply. It's always something way more organic. Like I was saying that we open Rosie's because Mark, my husband, has such a passion for Mexico. You know, he had been going many times a year, cooking with our cooks, cooking with our chefs, going to Mexico with them, sleeping on floors, digging in pits, whatever it meant that he could do Mexican food. I did say probably somewhere he wishes I was a nice Mexican woman, but he, you know, but that Rosie's came from a passion from that, and that we had a really great Mexican sous chef at Cook Shop, mm-hmm. who we brought on to be the chef at Cook Shop. So it was a much more organic way of doing it. And with Shuka, you've heard the story, but it was very organic. You know, it just came from you know, we thought we hired this one chef. It turns out, who knew? She was like this passionate expert in Middle Eastern. You know what I mean? So it was like, oh, this makes, you know, I believe really do what you love. You know what I mean? So if there's a love for that kind of food, if, you know, I'm pointing to no one's here, but if there's a love for Middle Eastern.
She's pointing at Aisha, who loves Middle Eastern. Yeah.
But you know what I mean? I think so a lot of, almost everything we've done, not almost everything we've done, has come more organically. I wish I could tell you we do A, B, C, and D.
No, but that's a really important point, is like you shouldn't do things. And Aisha, you said this earlier while we were having, you know, while we were having pizza, is that you don't do things because of money. You do them because of their passion and you love it and you believe in it.
I think it's important. I mean, it's a difficult job. Front of house, back of house, the restaurant industry, you could take a beating from it. You know, I tell people all the time, I have great days and really shitty ones.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I do what I love to do. And I feel very fortunate to do that.
Yeah. And it seems, you know, just from the other conversations too with Aisha, with Shuka, we talked about Hillary with Vix, and you said, you know, you built that restaurant for her. So it just, you know, it really comes through that your group is really about the people, and that's how the partnership really.
Yeah, we literally had no idea. We were not going to open an Italian restaurant. That was not in our thing. It was not in the plan. And that we met Hillary and we're blown away.
It's amazing. Let's go to some audience questions. So thank you all for DMing us on Instagram when you heard about the wonderful restaurateurs who are going to be here today. So,
sure. We'll start with, we have one from Domingo Brooklyn. And they ask, in a business partnership, how do you ensure that each partner does an equal amount of work?
Go for it, Aisha.
We all do different things. Right. So it's easy for us to do. We just do different things. Like, I mean, chef partners, I mean, wow. They're in kitchens, they're working. We're in restaurants. Restaurants itself make sure that you do the work because it's physical, you know.
Right, and I think we touched on a little bit, or you guys touched on a little bit, that it's, you know, it's less about who's doing what and it's also, know, who you are. And
yeah, it's also not going to be equal.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Aisha works way harder than we do.
Think about that. The chefs always work harder than the front of house.
This is the aha moment.
Yeah. She's shaking her head yes in the background.
You know you're gonna end our partnership with this podcast.
It was nice knowing you guys. Yeah. Don't nice, be mad at us. Right.
What we're saying is know who you're picking for a partner.
Yeah. Right.
That's all I can say is know that they have a work ethic.
Right.
Or a similar one to yours.
All right, second one comes from Damn Oscar. What is the hardest part about owning a business with a significant other? Vicky, I'll let you take that one.
Oh, geez. A lot. I think that it's just you're two really passionate people who really, and we are on different sides, and you really are passionate about the side that you're on. And it's really, you have to just sometimes put yourself back, listen to your other, you know, your spouse, your significant other. And put yourself in their place, because sometimes you're so used to being in yours and what you want and what you need. And, you know, I've always been really honest with this. It was bad in the beginning. When we opened 5 Points, I was like, we're not going to make it. I literally didn't think we were going to make it. You know what I mean? But over the years, we just learn, you know, I hate to use the dumb old word of compromise, but there's compromise, there's communication, there's all that.
Yeah, I would second that on our relationship, right? I think also the sleeping on it is usually a good idea.
The sleeping on it is a good thing.
I never do it, but I should.
It's hard to have empathy and put yourself in other people's shoes. Right. And I think that goes for any relationship, whether you're married or partners, because I think at the end of the day, you're talking about people's emotions and their hard work, and chefs are very passionate people who are very creative, and it can be very personal. So there's definitely that, like, stepping back, and I'm not trying to attack you. This is a business. Right. You know, discussion.
Right. I also think you have to take a little bit of the personal. I mean, it is personal, but it can't be like, well, if you're doing this and you don't love me, you know what I mean? Like there's there's a separate thing at business, even though you are.
Yeah.
Significant others.
Exactly.
I think the other point that we've talked about a little bit before is having very different roles is important.
I highly suggest it. I see two chefs that are going to be partners, scares the crap out of me.
Unless it's like savory and pastry, then sometimes, that would.
But again, it's different roles.
But yeah, that would scare me.
That would terrify me.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, should we do lightning round?
Yeah, so we'll move into our fun lightning round. Well, these are meant to be quick responses, so, you know,
get out of there.
Yeah.
You ready?
Don't overthink it.
Just go for it.
I'll take the first two. Okay. One word that describes how you feel about being your own boss. Aisha, you want to start?
I think Vicky, take that one.
Joyous.
Okay, number of days off in your first year of business. Let's say your first year is Shuka, or?
I don't know. The first year? I'll go back to 100 acres. Definitely not many.
Three.
Three. First 6 months was very difficult.
Okay.
I would say three.
Yep.
And what about now? How many days off now?
2 days a week.
Yeah, living the dream, Chef Aisha.
Yeah,
All planned out. Vicky, what about you? How's it changed for you?
Oh, it's changed drastically for me because I'm not the operator. I mean, you know, there's people in there in the day. I'm not the general manager anywhere. You know, I think I have a great life. There's a little bit more balance.
Cool. I think this one, if you can all answer your own version, that'd be awesome. You're a world-renowned traveling speaker on the power of partnerships. Give us your one-line motivational quote or like your book title.
Can I go first?
Please.
This is Aisha.
I'd
like to say relentlessly pursue your growth as a person, as a chef, as a partner, but never back down in a good way and never let yourself down to make sure that you really put out there what you really want, because in a lot of ways, and I'm not a corny or hokey pokey person, but dreams do come true. And I think that Shuka and the next restaurant were definitely part of my plan. And you can create your own destiny.
Create your own destiny. I like it.
Can you ask me that question one more time? I'm serious.
This is a one-liner, right?
Yeah, you're
okay. A motivational quote you're like a speaker on partnerships, and you're telling it you're an expert, and you're like spreading the gospel on the great partnership that you have.
So I got one line.
Yep, let's do it.
I think a great partnership is truly knowing when to listen to your partners.
That's good. Yep.
And for me, I think a great partnership makes the whole experience feel complete.
Cool. Some good answers. You want to take the rest?
Yeah. So can you name one trait that your partners have that you don't, that's instrumental in your business and success?
So I'm going to go first. I'm lucky enough with these two ladies here. It is taste.
Taste.
She has taste in design and the how the restaurant looks and feels and all of that. And it's classy and it's elegant and it's all the things we need in our restaurants.
Aww.
This one has taste.
She's pointing to Aisha.
And it's all about the food. I mean, her food, there's layers to it, you know. So, you certainly wouldn't have a good restaurant without that. So.
Good taste.
All right, and I'll do the next one.
Yeah.
So, with Anna Marie, she is every bit the leader, the manager that I am not. I mean, there's really, what is that saying? Rule with an iron fist and a whatever. Rule, it's an iron fist and a soft something. But like the minute Anne Marie walks in the room, I think everybody straightens up a little. And yet she's incredibly kind. And it's not fear. It's just there's a presence the minute she walks in the room.
It's called being a boss.
She's boss. And Aisha has everything I don't have. I mean, she's an incredible cook. Aisha has the biggest surprise for me with Aisha is that she has an incredible business brain.
I'm humbled and grateful. I don't even know how to follow that up. I would have to say that I'm inspired by Vicky because I think that she's a visionary on a lot of points, that she has a vision, but she knows how to make it come to fruition and make you be part of it, which inspires me. And I have to say that I feel that Anna Marie has really been an instrumental part of my, I guess, growth as part of like maturing as a leader and being able to see different perspectives of things that I wasn't able to do. Listening is a big thing that I've obviously, she said that that's the title of her international tour.
Yeah.
But I think that It's been a really a fun ride, and I look forward to what's happening next and to be sitting here with these lovely ladies.
This is a quick yes or no. Do you guys hang out outside of work?
Yes.
Yes.
Do you still date nights with Mark? Can I ask you that?
Yes. Yeah, I do.
You do? We have date night once a week. We try, at least.
Once a week might be pushing.
Right
it,
after Castaway.
That's our goal. We try. Favorite thing about owning a restaurant?
Flexibility.
Aisha?
I think it's the platform to really put out, you know, your vision.
Yeah, and I think for me it's that. It's actually having a say in what's happening and not just having to do what someone else sees, but you get to see your vision come to life.
Yeah, I mean, if you didn't have a vision, you wouldn't be where you're sitting,
right?
For sure.
Least favorite thing?
I guess.
Just one.
just one.
I guess it's my least favorite thing right now is when I feel like I'm failing with some of our staff. You know what I mean? There's so many people now that I feel sometimes like, I don't know. I guess I feel like I'm just not doing a good enough job.
How many employees do you guys have?
Over 300.
Wow. Over 300. It's amazing.
No, our first employee came to us.
From Cook
Part
Shop.
Part-time from Cook Shop.
That's true. Yeah, who?
Yeah, Jason Gliezza.
He's the pastry chef at Covina.
Oh, yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
You remember Jason?
Yes, yeah.
Best chocolate chip cookies, yes. Jason. We love you. Yeah. Send chocolate chip cookies.
So he did get the recipe.
I think Amanda never gave it to him.
I think he tried, yes. There's some lore around the chocolate chip cookies.
There is lore around
Cook Shops ago. Sure. Anybody else want to chime in about...
Least favorite thing?
Least favorite thing.
That's hard, right?
Yeah.
That's good.
That's
nothing.
Good.
You can have nothing.
You can say nothing.
There's nothing wrong with the restaurant industry.
No.
Oh, my gosh.
It's probably, if there's anything to be, that is hard about being in a restaurant is maybe the unsociableness of it all, which seems like craziness,
right.
But as in... We're going to be working when everybody is off. We're going to be doing the holidays. That's the hardest part with families. But I've actually even come to weigh terms with that because I'm like, I get to be off when everybody else is doing stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's quiet and it's peaceful and stuff. So I've come to terms with it. But if I have to pick anything that seems to be hard, I feel sometimes that can be hard, that you have to choose.
Between
the business.
I mean,
sometimes.
It's still quality of life, right? I mean, no matter how, no matter what part of the restaurant business you're in, I mean, there probably are people that are definitely better at it, but you know, the restaurant business, the overwhelming thing always is how do you work-life balance?
Yeah.
Right.
That's with everything. Yeah. There's always that struggle with work-life balance, but it definitely is exacerbated by the restaurant industry for sure.
All right, cool. We're going to move on. At the end of each show, we like to shout out a couple of opening soon restaurants as well. And I know you guys have one, but we have Silver Apricot is, I believe, from Simone Tong of Little Tong in the East Village is going to do in the West Village now. And I think that one's going to be a little bit more of like a tasting version to the menu, as well as Cedric's at the Shed from Union Square Hospitality Group. Do you know a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so it's their new, it's similar to like a porch light kind of concept, but now downtown, so
cool.
Should be good.
And then give us, we've only heard a little bit of hearsay about Chouquette.
Who else is opening soon,
Chouquette?
Yeah, they point to me.
I want to go back to the worst thing about the restaurant business, is to be a chef in the basement.
Prelude. That's a little foreshadowing.
She's foreshadowing what Chouquette is going to be.
So
Chouquette is going to be on 24th and 9th. Although I want to make so much fun of Aisha, who had the dress wrong for the last like 4 months.
She's been sending contractors
place. She's been telling people all this. I'm not going to mention the neighborhood in case someone lives there, but a whole different area. And everyone's like, really? Why?
And then I kept getting mad at my Uber drivers for dropping me off at the wrong address. I was like, why am I walking this far?
Why am I in Brighton Beach right now? This is not where the restaurant is.
But anyway, it's opening on 24th and 9th, and it's opening up in the old Co-Pizzeria spot. And it's so cool. I mean, it's normally in a strip mall, the only strip mall in New York City. And normally strip mall would just be that word that makes me cringe and I lived a tiny bit of time in LA, so strip mall, just me and strip malls, not, but I love it because it's the only one in New York. But it is going to be Middle Eastern. It is going to have similarities to Shuka, but it is not going to be just another Shuka. It's one big open space. There is a huge kitchen with coal grill in the middle of it, right in the middle of the whole place. And why Aisha said that, because...
Because I'll be in the middle.
There is no basement.
And there is, right. There's no basement. I'll be up there greeting everyone. And we really wanted to have like a very interactive restaurant where, like, if I'm cutting a piece of steak for an order and the little pieces of the end is there, you know, the chef's cut, just put it on a toothpick and like pass it to the person that's on, the guest, and have people be able to ask questions to the staff, like, what's that? And I think it was important for us to...
Yeah, there's 30 seats around. She's an audience of 30 people around the this big counter that's in the middle. And the restaurant is very interactive, but it's just going to be, like, really about Aisha and bringing her up. And I hope it's going to have a little bit, in a good eating way, of more of a party, more of someplace fun that you're going to... I hope the people talk to the table next to them.
Will there be New Year's parties at this...
There's definitely going to
be the after party, perhaps.
The after party.
That's a great idea.
You heard it here first.
The Shook after dark.
The Shook after dark. Or maybe it's the Shook early morning.
Yeah. I know. She doesn't like early morning.
I love it. Awesome. Well, we can't wait to visit.
Yeah, we're looking forward. That's fallish.
No, summer.
Summer?
Okay. It was supposed to be summer. But now it's going to be fall. We believe that opening will be
late summer.
Cool.
Early fall. The latest it will be September.
Cool.
Which is a great time to open.
We're excited. We're looking forward to it.
It's a perfect time to open.
Yes. Next week, tune in as we chat real estate with Aaron Pantinkin and Agatha Kulaga of Ovenly. With 4 current locations across Brooklyn and in Manhattan, they should be a great resource on finding the perfect space for success. So we're excited to chat with them. Tune in next week to hear a little bit more. Thanks again. Super special thanks to Vicky, Aisha, and Anna Marie for being here and sharing their partnership stories.
Thank you.
If you forgot to take your notes today, we've got your back. You can check on our blog on tillitnyc.com. We'll wrap everything up and give you the key points and takeaways from today. Obviously, you can always still catch us on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere else you get your podcast. Tell us where we can find you guys. You've got like 18 Instagram accounts. So
Give us where we can go. I mean, would you say to go to Shuka Instagram? I mean, you can
go to Shuka. Don't ask Aisha where it is. Right. She'll give you the wrong address. But.
At Shuka NYC. We have Cookshop NYC. Mm-hmm. Vix.
New York.
New York.
Vix New York spelled out.
And Rosie's.
NYC.
Cool.
But you can also call any of the restaurants. They will give you our emails. They will give you our websites. You know what I mean? You can contact us through websites. We're very easy
Open
to
book.
Contact. Yeah.
At the Bowery Group.
But cool. I want to say congratulations to the two of you on what an awesome podcast. And I think it's great to have people, your peers that are in the industry, really lay out some foundation and some groundwork to listen to stuff about the industry they can relate to.
Cool. Thank you so
much.
Thank
you so much for sharing with us. Yeah.
Don't forget to follow us on Instagram at We Are Opening Soon and at Till at NYC. Thanks, guys.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks for listening to Heritage Radio Network, food radio supported by you. For our freshest content and to learn more about our 10-year anniversary celebration happening all year long, subscribe to our newsletter. Enter your email at the bottom of our website, heritageradionetwork.org. Connect with us on Instagram and Twitter at @heritage_radio. You can also find us at facebook.com/heritageradionetwork. Heritage Radio Network is a nonprofit organization driving conversations to make the world a better, fairer, and more delicious place. And we couldn't do it without support from listeners like you. Want to be part of the world's most innovative community? Subscribe to the shows you like, tell your friends, and please join the HRN family and become a member. Thanks for listening.